Tonight, sometimes we make it too complicated.
Yeah, amen.
We just need to be simple and get the message. I'm trusting in the fact tonight that God cannot lie. Because he cannot lie, I can read chapter 21 with a great deal of encouragement. The Bible says in verse number 1, Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Father, would you have your way in the service tonight? God, you know the need. You know what each heart has need of tonight. Lord, we want to do your will, God. We want to mind you, Lord. We realize that we're not worthy to open the book, God, but we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Now have your way now, Lord, and use us, touch these lips of clay, and make preaching easy. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great sight that he's trying to show us here. You know, the Bible says in verse number 3, "They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." If there never was a verse 4, that would be good enough. As long as he would be my God, don't make any difference if he ever wiped away a tear. Don't matter if he ever took away death or sorrow or crying. As long as he would be our God, that would be heaven enough. But in spite of ourselves, God still does everything that goes with it. And I think sometimes we get our minds too bogged down in this life, and we don't realize we're fixing to go home. We're about to leave this place. We're going to a place where the sun never stops shining. You need to meditate on that place, that it's not just heaven, it's home. It's not just a place, it's a place prepared for us. And I want you to, with this in mind, I'm not going to preach on heaven tonight. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. I want you to think on these things. You need to spend time thinking about going home. You need to spend some time with your mind out of the gutter of this life and put it on the streets of gold of that life. I believe that it will help you spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally to do that, to set your thoughts and your mind on heavenly things. And somebody once said, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I don't think we have that problem here tonight. But I don't believe that's so anyway. I don't believe you can be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. As a matter of fact, I believe the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you'll be. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter number 3. This is where we'll find our text speaking about heaven somewhat. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 1, Bible says, if. Now that's a big word. It's not the longest word in your Bible. The longest word in your Bible is eternity. But this is a big word. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now everything hinges on your salvation. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things, on the things on the earth. I want to just get you to think about this for just a minute, if we could tonight. God is speaking to us through Paul, through the writing of the Holy Spirit, and he is telling us that in verse number 1, we need to seek some things that are above. He said, seek those things which are above. Now, I want you to understand something. Most of the time, when you read that passage, you read it like this. Seek the things that are heavenly. Or seek the things which are above. Or seek those things which are above. In other words, search for heaven. Seek for heaven. That's the way people read it. When the Bible says in verse 2, set your affection on things above. Listen to me, folks. Most people, most preachers preach that and say you need to set your affection on heaven. But that's not what he's saying. The emphasis in these two verses is found in one word, things. He said, set your affection on things above. He said, seek those things which are above. He did not say, seek heaven. He didn't say, seek to get there. He said, seek those things which are above. He said, set your mind, set your affection on those things which are above. So what we have to do tonight is we have to investigate and find out what he's talking about. What things does he mean? What things are above that we down here need to set our affections on? What things above that we on this earth need to seek? And I thought about it and meditated upon it, and I believe I can give you a couple of them. I believe I can show you a few things tonight that are in heaven that we need to set our affections on down here. Now this is a little bit deeper than it just seems. So you need to kind of make your mind get a hold of it. There's some things in glory tonight that we need to set our affections on down here. You say, preacher, what in the world? In other words, I'm supposed to spend my time, spend my life thinking about heaven. That's not what he said. He said, what you need to do is seek the things that are above. What you need to do is set your affection on the things that are above. Let me see if I can bring it a little closer home tonight. What if we were to look into heaven tonight, open the door, and find some things that we could set our affection on that would be good on the earth. What about, let's see if we could just come up with a few. What about this? What about the book of life? What about your King James Bible? Now listen to what I'm saying. I believe the Bible, your King James Bible, is in heaven. That book is in heaven. As a matter of fact, that King James Bible is the book of life. I believe somewhere in Hebrew my name is in that book. That book is the book of life. That book is in heaven. Now, if the book is in heaven, and we're supposed to set our affections on the things above, what do you think he's trying to say? You ought to read the book. You ought to set your affection on the book. You ought to get interested in the book. You ought to be more interested in the book than you are the TV. You ought to be more interested in the book than you are Bassmasters or Sports Illustrated or Tupperware. Amen. You ought to be, he said what you need to do is you need to set your affections on things above. I can't think of anything that's above the book. Amen. That book is from above. That book is already in heaven. That book, you know what you need to do? You need to spend your time in the book. The Bible says, give attendance to reading. Spend time studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not to man. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, we need to set our affection on the book. We need to set our affection on the Word of God. Somebody once said, I esteem it more than my necessary food. I think Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. It's more sure than if God opened a window in heaven and spoke verbally in your ear. How's that, preacher? It's in writing. Amen. God put it in writing. It's the book of books. It's the book of the ages. It's the book of all time. It'll be the centerpiece and the masterpiece in glory. You wonder tonight. It's no wonder the devil wants to destroy it. It's no wonder he wants you to have 10, 12, 20, 200 different versions of that book that all say something different. No wonder he wants you to have something different. Because he knows how important that book is to God. That book is in heaven right now. God said to us, he said, set your affections on the book. Amen? This ain't going to be too complicated. Now you figured it out. You know what else he said? You ought to set your affections on the brethren. I'm saying there's some things up there that we ought to set our affections on down here. You ought to esteem others more highly than yourself. Amen. We ought not just set our affection on the book, but we ought to set our affections on the brethren. We ought to seek those things. We ought to seek those brethren, amen, which are above. Now, you know what the Bible says? We're already seated in heavenly places
in Christ Jesus. What does that make us, preacher? The body of Jesus Christ. And the brethren, amen, we're brethren one with another. And we ought to be kinder toward one another. We ought to show more consideration toward one another. And we ought to set our affection on one another, amen. That's how you keep unity. That's how you keep from dividing the church and splitting the church. That's how you keep from sowing discord. If there's anything the Bible says, God loves unity. How, what did it say about how beautiful it is? I know that part. What's the first part? How pleasant it is. That might be it. And wonderful or something like that. For brethren to dwell together in unity. So that now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God loves unity. Well, what does that mean? It means He hates discord.
Right, amen.
Seven things does God hate. And the last one, and not the least one, is a brother that sows discord. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, I'd rather be found guilty of being a drunk or being a whoremonger than I had of sowing discord and splitting the house of God. Amen. He said, now here's the question, here's the key. If you then be risen with Christ, seek the brethren. Do you think I'm making more out of it than is there? Do you think I'm taking it out of context? I said there's a book in heaven. There's brethren in heaven. He said, seek those things which are above. He said, set your affections on those things which are above, which are in heaven. Amen? That's what we need to do tonight. We need to set our affections on the brethren. We need to set our affections on the book.
Yes, sir.
We need to set our affections on the bride.
Yeah, amen.
You say, what is that, preacher? That is the church.
Amen.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to make much of the church. Every child of God, every man that God ever used in the Word of God, you know what he did? It was because he made much of the church. Amen. I mean, he loved his church. He considered his church. He cared about his church. He gave to his church. You say you love your church and you rob God, you're a liar. You don't give to the church. Amen. You're lying. The truth ain't in you. How can you say you love God, hate the brethren? I don't hate the brethren. Well, then give to the saints. Hello? Amen? Here we go again. He's hitting that tithing business. Ain't that sad? God would have to bring it up. Don't look at me. I didn't start it. Don't look at me. I didn't stir it up. I wasn't planning on saying nothing about tithe. God just brought it to my heart. You say, what are you doing? What are you talking about? I'm talking about being in love with the church. How much you love your church? Do you care about your church? How much are you willing to give to your church? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, we ain't not giving nothing, bless God. Blah, 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 blah. Well,
yeah, amen.
Help yourself.
Amen.
He said, you better seek those things which are above. What's above? Preach the bride. I just read in Revelation 21, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned. Amen? I'm telling you, there's a bride in glory. That bride is the church, the body of Christ. We are to set our affections. Can I just throw some things right quick? Can I suggest to you tonight, it is impossible to set your affections on the church on Sunday morning at the golf course. It is impossible to set your affections at the church house on Sunday morning in the bed instead of in Sunday school. It is impossible to set your affections on the church anywhere else besides the church. Hello? My goodness, don't get quiet now, ain't it? I'm just telling you the truth. He said, hey, if that's the key, if you're one of his, seek those things. Seek the brethren. Seek the church. Well, I don't understand this crowd says they're born again and look for reasons to get out of church. I don't understand this crowd. I understand the devil slipping you a curve. I'm not a fool. But I don't understand every week after week after week, you coming up with something every week. Looking for a reason to stay out of church. You say it ain't got nothing to do with church. Sure it does. You're just too stupid and blind to see it. Hello? He said, hey, seek those things. Seek those what? The bride. Amen? Seek the book. Set your affections on the book. Amen. Set your affections on your brethren. Think of others besides yourself. Put yourself last, or you'll never be first. Set your affections on the bride. You ought to set your affections on the bridegroom. You say, who's that preacher? That's Jesus. Hey, all he did was keep you out of hell. All he did was drain his body out, empty his body out with blood just to save your sorry stinking hide. He took all those beatings and all those scourgings and all those poundings and all those spittings just for you, amen. Gotta set your affections on Jesus. Gotta set him on the bridegroom, amen. Gotta think about him once in a while. Hey, it'll help your life if you'll meditate on him in the morning and meditate on him at lunch and meditate on him at the nighttime, amen. You'll set your affections on Jesus. You'll set them on the bridegroom. You won't have time for all this other trash. It's impossible to meditate on Jesus and meditate on junk at the same time. You can't do it. One's going to take the place of the other. Brother, I just seen somebody out there. See who's out there. The bridegroom. Set your affections on the Bible. Set your affections on the bride. That's what I thought. It wasn't nobody, was it? He said, if you then be risen with Christ. That's the question. Are you saved? Have you been resurrected? Well, if you have, seek the brethren. Seek the book. If you're saved, if you're born again, there's going to be something inside of you pulling you to the book. Pulling you to the brethren. Pulling you to church. Pulling you to Christ. Are you listening to me tonight? He said, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on the blood.
Amen.
You know, that's something folks don't even like to talk about no more. Do you know what they're doing with the new song books? You can't find blood in them. They're removing the blood from the new song books. That ain't bad enough. They're taking out the new Bibles. Don't want nothing. We don't want no bloody religion. You know what man wants you to do? Man wants you to do what Cain did. Man wants you to try to get blood out of a turnip. Man wants you to open up a fruit stand. Man wants you to do good. Hey, you know what happens when you testify You get born again, your testimony to others, it upsets their apple cart. It makes them mad. It upsets them. Why, preacher? Because they don't like anybody that's like you, that's like born again or like Christ. They like somebody that's like their self, religious and stiff, amen. That's the way they want it, bless God. They want somebody that can still drink their booze and have their parties and do their stinking filth and rotten core, amen. They like that kind of stuff and say they're giving their money and attending church and they're working their way into glory. That's what they want. They want somebody like that. If you go up to them and you tell them there's some good work they're doing, and pat them on the back, and they're going to be going to heaven because they're good, you'll satisfy them. But if you tell them one certain day, back at so-and-so time, Jesus Christ saved my soul and resurrected me and gave me life, and now I don't desire those things anymore. If you do that, if you preach that or tell them that, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to make them mad. You're going to upset them. That's what they did with the apostles. The Bible says they were unlearned and ignorant men. They didn't know nothing about scholarship. They didn't know nothing about Greek and Hebrew. They didn't know nothing about all that stuff. Say, so what'd they do, preacher? They knew something about Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Set your affection on the blood. Those things that we're losing track of. We're losing the handle on. I'm going to tell you something. If you get in, it's going to be by the blood of Jesus Christ. You there's no other way. You ain't going to get in any other way but by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know. I know you know that. I know you've been a church member for 20 years and you're smarter than that. But sometimes you just need to hear it. You need to, if you get in, it's going to be by the blood. You conquer your enemy by the blood. Set your affections on things above. Finally, let me say this. Set your affections on the breath of God. What's that, preacher? That's the Holy Spirit. You know what gets me? It amazes me. People that tell me they're led by the Spirit and God tells me they ain't. It amazes me when people do that. You know something? I'm not a fool. There are some places the Spirit ain't going to lead you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You want me to go into that? No, I don't think you do. There are some places that the Spirit just don't lead you. There's some place, hey, when it's time to read your Bible, the Spirit don't lead you to drop it and go watch television. Hello? I just feel led of the Spirit to watch the Passion of Christ. Well, you're led of a Spirit, all right, but it ain't the right Spirit. I just feel led of the Spirit. I'm gonna go out preaching on the street Wednesday night. But y'all pray for me while you're at church. You're led by the wrong Spirit. I just, hey, that's the way it is, folks. This crowd says they're led of the Spirit all the time, and they ain't got enough spiritual sense to get out of a rainstorm. Hello? People amaze me. Talking about, you know something? You give a man 5 minutes and let him open his mouth, and he'll tell on himself. He'll tell you just how much spirituality he has. About 5 minutes, sometimes 5 seconds. Just that quick. And they think, you know what they think? The preacher's dumber than a bag of rocks. He wouldn't know the difference. You think he ain't got a lick of sense? He can't tell when you're just being led of carnal flesh. You think I'm stupid, I can't tell? My soul, get you another pastor then. You need somebody can tell when you're led of the Spirit. There's some things the Spirit... Hey, you know what I know about the Spirit? I know the Spirit's going to lead you to church. Mark it down! The Spirit will lead you to read that book. the Spirit will lead you to a prayer closet. You say, well, I ain't prayed in 6 months. You don't have the right spirit. You're being led of another spirit. Hello? The Spirit will lead you to thank God for the things of this life. Have gratitude. I don't thank God for nothing. I work for it. Wrong spirit. He said, set your affections on the things above. What's above, preacher? The breath of God. Every one of those things, listen to me, folks. Every one of these things that I've listed tonight, just a few of them, are also below. They're things that are here now. And you say, well, the Bible says don't set your affections on things that are... No, not unless they match the things that are above. Hello? Set your affections. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on those things. What things? The book, the brethren, the bride, the bridegroom, the blood. Hello? Seek those things, the breath of God, which are above. Let me tell you something. If you do, your life will be more enjoyable. Listen, can I help you? I just gave you the pattern for a successful life. Now, you don't have to read Warren's book to figure out what you just learned. All you have to do is be doers of the word and not hearers only. I guarantee you, it'll change your life. Just simple little things. Get an affection. You know what we do as Christians? We get an infection. Hello? I ain't going to go there. That's enough, preacher. Set your affection on things above. Can I ask you a question?